We've got a great episode for you this week. We're going to recap the Chiefs and Broncos and the Chiefs at Seahawks since we were gone last week. We missed you guys. We've got some openings and some openings around the city to talk about. Then we'll talk about what we tried this week. I will say something nice about St. Louis as I got to spend some time there over the weekend. We've got a hey look, there's KC, personal pine tars, and our mixed plate of New Year's resolutions for 2023. Welcome in to State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is January 3rd, 2023. Welcome to a new year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We've got a couple of games to recap because we took the week between Christmas and New Year's off, which everybody does, which is a great week.
Good point.
To just slack on. It's nice that it was bookend with Christmas on a Sunday and New Year's Day on a Sunday. So then you can just take straight 5 days off. Easy to remember.
Tomorrow's going to, today, going back to work, it's going to be tough. I wonder how I'll be feeling at this time tomorrow, listening to this tomorrow, but today, yes. But recording it yesterday, mm-hmm. But listening to it tomorrow, today.
You'll probably be riddled with anxiety. How many unread emails do you have?
Not too bad.
Because
basically everyone, like you said, a lot of people took off work. Most of my unread emails are just like spam or automatic emails that are coming. Nothing that like absolutely has to get done. Don't have a ton of anxiety right now. I am looking forward to, as we're talking, the Bills-Bengals game, which is tonight,
yes.
Which was last night, if you're listening to this now, because it's tomorrow. But I'm very excited about that. So I don't have a lot of pre-work anxiety right now. How about you? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I dabbled and worked a couple days last week, so able to get caught back up, be in a good spot.
Yeah.
Didn't drink too much at the game yesterday.
Proud of you.
Thank you very much.
Because you had little nephews with you.
My nephews to the game, that was a blast. It was a lot of fun.
A little different experience,
like having a kid in the crowd that big and trying not like walking down the spirals at the end of the game.
Yeah,
it's terrifying.
Oh, because you're just nervous you're going to lose a kid?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
kids
scary.
Are pretty good at taking care of themselves, though.
And, they don't want to get too far away from you either.
Yeah.
So, But that was scary.
Yeah.
Anyways, a lot of fun. I'm ready.
How did your nephews handle being in the upper deck in Raytona Beach?
Yeah, so I gave them some koozies before the game, some Raytona Beach koozies, and they asked, what's Raytona Beach? And I said, you're about to find out.
Yes.
So 11 and 13 years old. Wasn't their first Chiefs game at Arrowhead, but they'd been before, but sat up at our seats, got to meet the Timms, I didn't let them drink any rum from Rum Guy.
Yeah.
Did not allow that.
Uh-huh.
And basically had middle fingers in their face the whole entire game. So Broncos fans, who were like being funny about it.
Yeah, not serious.
Not serious, but they had friends above us. So any good Broncos play or bad Chiefs play, it was just double birds.
Yes.
Three rows above us, but just right in the 11-year-old and 13-year-old's face.
They probably loved it.
Uh-huh. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
So I was like, now this is Raytona Beach.
Yeah, yeah. That lady up there, she's going to try to sell you some earrings. Uh-huh. Maybe you can buy some nice earrings for your mom. Mm-hmm. That would have been a good idea. And Rum Guy would have probably offered
he
him
had
rum.
Yeah, yeah, he did. He did have rum.
Was everybody Blocks there?
Everybody Blocks was there. Our dad came with us to the game, too. JR hadn't been to a game since 2019, and he got to sit by Everybody Blocks.
Nice.
And he was just fascinated because he's heard us talk about Everybody Blocks.
Uh-huh.
He was like, he only has four or five things to say the entire game.
Yeah.
Like, there's not really conversation. It's Everybody Blocks.
Yeah.
Nobody quits.
Come on, Chief.
Do your job,
Chief.
And that was about it. So there's no like like, oh, that was a terrible call by the referee.
Yeah, what's he doing? What's he looking at? No,
no.
He's like a programmed robot where it's just like press this button when this happens, and then it's come on, chief.
And I know, I think everybody blocks brought his brother. They looked very much alike.
Okay,
I think they might have been brothers.
Okay,
so
interesting.
Yeah, it was
family day at Raytona Beach.
At Raytona Beach, it was beautiful. Sweated. Yeah. I wore long underwear.
Gorgeous.
Big mistake.
Yeah, I don't know what forecast did you look at? Well, said it was going to be 57 by game time.
I know, but it could have been cloudy and windy, and then it gets cold, and you're sitting there.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake on my part. So
yeah, I was in my T-shirt. I was at the game, not in our seats, in different seats. I went on a party bus with like 15 other sets of parents. It was parents' day off. It was it was parents gone wild for sure, because we were on a party bus, 30 of us, and we all sat together too. We had group group tickets up in Raytona Beach in the upper deck, but like at the 40-yard line.
Sweet.
Sweet seats.
What'd you think compared to having the
corner? I would love to move closer to the 50. I mean, I don't want to leave the Tims and like our section over there because we've been together for so long, but man, it's great.
Okay.
The closer you get to the 50. But yeah, it was great time. I love, there's nothing better than drinking on a bus. And so everyone who I went with was parents, and all had babysitters, and no one worked today. So it was parents gone wild.
That's
and,
awesome.
And it was a good time.
Good. Let's get into these games.
Yeah.
I was trying to think back on the Seahawks game and everything that happened, because it's been a while. Basically, what I've got is that run was sick.
Which one?
By Mahomes, where he put his hand down.
Oh, yeah.
Reached
for
the pylon, touched it.
Yeah, it's been a while. Gosh.
And I don't know if you knew this, but that was after the game. Patrick Mahomes later in the week won his first MVP.
What's that? The Nickelodeon?
The Nickelodeon Most Valuable Player Award. So first time this season, he finally won it, though. The elusive MVP this season, he finally got it. So
that's incredible.
He must have played really well. I don't remember. It was a couple weeks ago already. But
yeah, it was again, it was one of those games where, yeah, he had put up decent numbers and didn't make any mistakes. My biggest memory from the Seahawks game was just how dominant Chris Jones was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think literally, I rewatched the game or a little bit of it, and it was just, if Chris Jones didn't get double teamed, which he gets double teamed the majority of the time now, but if he did not get double teamed, he was beating his guy one on one every single time, and he was absolutely dominant. I went back and looked. He had a 92 grade that game from PFF against the Seahawks. I don't know if grades for yesterday's game are out yet, but against the Seahawks, Chris Jones was absolutely dominant. So I love that, like, Defensive Player of the Year talk started again this past week for Chris Jones. I don't think he'll get it because I think it's going to be Micah Parsons and Joey Bosa or Nick Bosa, but I think he could finish third in Defensive Player of the Year. He's been that good, and his stats back it up. So that game, you know, will be remembered for the Mahomes dive at the pylon, which was insane. And like, the more I watched that highlight, the more insane it got. It's just silly how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many times that no one is better at avoiding getting sacked than Patrick Mahomes. He's just so good. And he doesn't have to panic because he knows he's just going to step around a guy or move.
Manipulate the rush.
Yeah, and he times his movement so perfectly to where the defender is just going to Wile E. Coyote and just like run right by him and completely miss him. And so, and that clip went viral of Mahomes saying how, you know, he runs scared and all that stuff. And that's why, you know, if someone was chasing him at the combine, he would have ran a 4.4. But he really is just so good at timing his movements perfectly to where it's too late for the defender and he's gone and moved past them. And he doesn't really have to really think about them because the defender's, you know, sold out and Mahomes has avoided him. So there's so many times that happens where he just makes the movement at the last minute or makes the stretch at the last minute, scores a touchdown, avoids the sack, and he's so good at it. But yeah, that the stretch and then the Chris Jones game was unbelievable for that Seahawks game. That was kind of all I remember as well.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the Broncos game then from this week. Made me sweat a little too much. Again, you
so
want to just put a team away who's not on your level. At the same time, it's the NFL, so I mean the Broncos are bringing their A game, but you just want to see them put them away.
I know.
We got the ball back up 7. What was it? with 6 minutes left after
we
were up 10. They scored to make it within three with 6 minutes and 50 seconds left. We get the ball. Go score.
Yeah.
Go put it away.
Didn't do it.
Couldn't do it. Had to leave it up to the defense, who did get it
Chris
done.
Jones. Chris Jones has to lead the world in like clutch fourth quarter sacks and pressures.
On offense, it's just like, let's just hope Mahomes bails us out and does something insane. And on defense, it's just like, well, let's just hope Chris Jones is going to bail us out here and do something insane. And he did this week. And then I love that we were at least aggressive enough to throw it on third and five there to put the game away and trust Mahomes in that situation.
Oh, at the very end.
The very end
left.
Of the game to say, we're going to throw it here. We don't care if there's an incompletion. We're going to put Mahomes... But the game in his hands, and that's what I want to see.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a weird, the game was, I was about to say, I had written down, like it was kind of a microcosm for the season, but it's weird because this season we've played everyone close. Like we haven't covered a lot of spreads and like our blowouts were like the Bucks who are in the playoffs and the 49ers who are like the most dominant team in the NFC right now.
Yeah.
And we
Cardinals.
The Cardinals. I guess the Bucks wasn't a blowout. I was confusing them with the Cardinals. But either way, we play all these bad teams close.
Score made it look closer than it was.
True.
So the garbage touchdown.
Yeah. Time. Oh yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But we play all these bad teams close and it's just like we can't put anything away. And I was going to say it was kind of a microcosm for the season, but it really hasn't been because we put away the division early. Mm-hmm. Like we won the division early on this year, even though it was supposed to be, you know, a really good division, which, and it was supposed to be, you know, close there, but we kind of put the division away early.
We have a chance to go undefeated in the division this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But we still, you know, we just can't put away these bad teams and it can get really frustrating. And it was just another one of those games where Mahomes had great numbers. I think, you know, 330 yards or something like that, three touchdown passes, one INT. But he just, it was just, and he's had an incredible season, and we've had an incredible season, but it just hasn't ever felt complete. It hasn't felt like we've had a ton of like full complete games, and that can be kind of frustrating. But we're 13-3. Have a very good chance. I think it's about a 45% chance right now of us earning the bye and being the one seed. So it's just been a weird season where it hasn't felt like we've put together a ton of complete games outside of like the 49ers game. But we're the best offense in the NFL. Mahomes is going to win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce is having probably his best season ever. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce has another season with 100 receptions, 1,200 receiving yards, and 10 TDs. He's done that three times. Tony Gonzalez, Rob Gronkowski, Shannon Sharp, Antonio Gates, Jason Witten, and Jimmy Graham have done that for a combined zero times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something Travis has done three times, and none of those other greats, literally the top, you know, the next five in line have done it zero times combined. An amazing season from everyone, but it just hasn't felt like we've put it all together. And there's still this thought in the back of my head every single week, the Seahawks game, this game. Okay, we're going to put it together in the playoffs, just kind of waiting for the playoffs to get here. And I can't blame them for having that mentality when you're the Chiefs and you're expected to win the division every year and you're expected to be like the AFC runs through you. It's just, it can be frustrating on a week to week basis. Now, if it all works out and we come into the playoffs and we look like this world beating team and we open up everything and we call only the good plays and we do the right things on special teams and we don't have these stupid mistakes, then that'll be great. But if it's one of those postseasons where we kind of look the same, then, you know, it makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. But like you said, it'll be a season where looking back on it, you know, barring anything strange in the Raiders game, we could be 14-3.
Yeah, insane. 14 wins.
14 wins is incredible in the NFL.
Yeah.
Especially going into it this year with, like, looking at the schedule that we were at the beginning of the year, it was like, this is going to be an incredibly difficult schedule.
Exactly.
And yet here we are, 13-3. With the MVP on our team. So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
When you look at it kind of back a little bit.
Yeah.
Back up a little bit. But we got the 5,000 passing yard notification in the game.
Uh-huh.
Big MVP chant led after that by the Arrowhead fans. So that was awesome. He's got the most seasons ever with 5,000 passing yards and 40 touchdowns. He's the only person to ever do it twice.
No, Drew Brees.
Drew Brees did it?
Twice.
Okay, bad information for me. So Drew Brees
him and
did
Drew
it twice.
Brees are the only two are the only players to have two seasons with 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns.
Okay, yes. Gotcha. All right. As far as 5,000 yard seasons in the NFL, Drew Brees has 5, Brady has 2, Mahomes has 2.
Yep.
Mahomes is 27, Brady's 45, and Drew Brees is retired.
Dead.
So that's also just incredible. Also,
yeah.
And then I think just as I was reflecting on that game. The Broncos' defense is no joke either.
It's really good.
It's really good against the pass also. Uh-huh. I think
really
they're
good.
Ranked 5th in EPA per play, EPA per drop back against the pass. And, I mean, Mahomes threw for over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, had over 100. He had like 105 quarterback rating. Uh-huh. So, again, missed a couple shots. Left a little bit on the field, too, to MVS.
Uh-huh.
I think he missed 2. I think he underthrew 1 and overthrew 1.
That was the third quarter. It was just like 6 straight incompletions, a couple of bad overthrows. We had 3 3 and outs in the third quarter. The third quarter was really bad. But
that was a tough half of or a tough quarter of football.
Yeah, it was really annoying. And I lost the 50-50 raffle. I just can't seem to win that thing.
Dang it.
I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to have a 50-50 chance of winning. I don't understand why it's not working. But
did you buy enough tickets?
I bought 150 tickets.
Okay, yeah.
Didn't win on one of them.
That's
50-50.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. But yeah, I also think too, like part of the, here's something that I'm going to tell myself again. I'm telling myself that we're getting geared up for the playoffs. I'm also telling myself that we haven't caught any breaks. There's a stat that keeps track of like how lucky has your team gotten, and turnovers a lot of times are lucky. Calls are lucky, you know, blocked field goals, different things that are high variance and pretty lucky. The Chiefs are on the bottom of the list as far as like when has luck gone our way. The majority of the time, luck has gone against us. So like knowing that we've been unlucky, and some of those lucky plays are what help you pull away from bad teams, right? Or like the score gets larger than it should be, and that's probably why our record against the
spread. So really, by lucky, you're talking about high variance.
High variance, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we haven't had many of those come our way. We're in the bottom third of the league as far as like EPA gained off of lucky plays, essentially. Mm-hmm. And our special teams has been ass all year. But like those types of things are how you kind of pull away from bad teams, and those types of things, they level out. And so hopefully we get a swing back in our direction. And if that swing comes during the playoffs, then, you know, we'll go to the Super Bowl. But we're just, we do the consistent things good. And we're really good at that kind of thing. So that's why I'm still encouraged. We'll just see. We once the luck starts swinging back our way, maybe, then we, you know, then we're a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
You need luck to win the Super Bowl. That's like, it's silly to pretend that you don't need things to break your way, or you don't need luck or high variance to swing your way to win the Super Bowl. You do. Winning the Super Bowl is so hard. It's one game. It's one game. So you need that. You need to get lucky to win the Super Bowl. And so we need that pendulum to swing back in our direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some things we can clean up, certainly, though, to make it swing back. Like that throw Mahomes made on the interception was just bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he can make that throw, but it was really, really poorly placed.
I saw Justin Watson. I was like, oh my God, he's wide open.
Yep.
And then
threw it way behind him.
Yep.
And then the special teams things are just so frustrating
bad.
Now.
So bad.
I think Colquitt's in Tommy Johnson's head now, too.
Gosh darn it.
I think he's in his head.
Yeah.
So do we have a roster spot for Colquitt just to hold?
Possibly.
Like, who is Dave Tobe keeping on the roster as a special teams guy?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he gets so many of them.
There's a linebacker.
Number 43.
I don't even know who he is.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Put someone else in on special teams for him. Bring on Colquitt to hold kicks.
I
mean, in the playoffs, would that not be more valuable than number 43? Like, Justin Colquitt holding field goals would be infinitely more valuable than number 43.
Jack Cochran. Yep.
Who the hell is that?
I don't know.
What? And his snaps are only special teams. It's the only way he will see the field.
Brandon Williams is the defensive tackle who gets like one or two snaps a game.
But he's a run stopper.
Yeah.
Like Colquitt, I wouldn't take him over Brandon Williams. But 43, what do you do here?
Yeah.
You're telling me we can't get let anybody else play special
There's
teams.
A guy named Malik Herring on our team. Never heard of him.
Cole quit. And for him to hold field goals.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
I love it. Let's do it.
I know. Jeez, because that's a disaster. Also, the only thing I know, other thing I noticed too, McDuffie playing nickel, slid like him and Legarius basically.
Oh, switched a little bit.
Yeah, Legarius played a lot more outside.
Well, I saw
McDuffie played a lot.
And
of
McDuffie
nickel.
Blitzed a little bit too.
Yeah, he got his first NFL sack.
McDuffie is good.
He's very good.
He's very good.
Yeah. So is Legarius Sneed. So
Sneed's pretty good.
Again, still. Oh, God, that defense makes me so nervous. Yeah. But they're trying things.
They're trying.
That was cool.
Yeah.
So anything else on the game?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Broncos, Chiefs Saturday.
No, Raiders.
Raiders, Chiefs on Saturday. The only other thing I have on that is the NFL should do a Premier League style where everybody plays at the same time. MLB does it on the last day of the season, too.
Yeah.
Everybody, first pitch is... or the pitch off is at the same time for everybody. So you could do it, 1 o'clock and 3:30, 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock on the last Sunday of the year.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And then with YouTube TV owning the rights for Sunday ticket, make it $20 for that weekend, $40 for that weekend.
Yeah.
To then get access to the Sunday ticket.
Yeah. They just announced the games, and there's still two games. Game times that will be decided based on tonight's game. So, really weird that some of the flexes have been weird. I think our flex, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I don't like it, though, that some games might not matter.
We play on a short rest. I don't like, but then it turns into then a long week the next week, so then we'll get extra rest going into the playoffs.
That's a good point. But hopefully we don't play that first week of the playoffs.
Hopefully we don't play that first week. But also, it could be where we would like to see what the Bills and Bengals do on the last day of the season, too, and then make decisions based off of that.
Yeah,
the
would
Bills
be nice.
Get to do that.
Yeah.
So kind of frustrating. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into some openings this week. This week, we got a Taylor Swift pop-up bar. So for all those who were online with me trying to get tickets to Taylor Swift July 7th and 8th. You'll be excited to hear about this. Up north where they've kind of been rotating in those pop-up
vignettes. We talk about it every couple of months when they switch. So they
change themes.
Yeah, they've done, I don't know, they've done like a Lord of the Rings, The Office, a Shrek, Mean Girls. It's this bar. It was our idea, Kevin,
yes,
if you
it
forget.
Was.
It was our idea to do just, it's a pop-up bar that's always a pop-up bar. It's always changing. And so it's called Vignette. It's in the Northland, North Kansas City. And so it's going to be a Taylor Swift pop-up bar. I'm gonna expose myself here because I'm not a Swiftie. I think we all
like
know
good
this.
Music or what? You don't like good storytelling. You hate incredible live performances.
I've
blonde
said this.
Women with long legs who are gorgeous. Like what is it?
I've said this before. I just think no one has done more with this amount of talent than Taylor Swift. That's all I'll say. I just think she's built an incredible brand. She's built an incredible, like, perfectly curated career where every single step of it was exactly written down and followed. And she's built herself into this mega, ultra, supersonic superstar that three people in the world reach at any given point. And she's been there for a long time with mediocre... Music.
Wow.
I'm just saying the music. Everything she does, her aura, again,
it's called
is incredible.
Being authentic and being herself
and people loving
that and respecting it.
Perfect.
And then she's able to be herself so then she can tell incredible stories through her songs.
Beautiful.
And
well
that's
put.
What people love.
Well put. Well put. Anyways, exactly. She's like one of the three most popular people on the planet and her talent level is not, she's not one of the three most talented people on the planet. That's all I'll say. Okay. But, so I'm exposing myself a little bit too because the title of the bar is just another pop-up to burn and I don't get the reference.
Just Another Picture to Burn.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So that's the title of the bar.
So it's actually one of her songs.
About an ex-boyfriend, probably?
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Which one? Which one?
It's people like you digging into her love life too much.
Yeah.
Making, you know.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
I'm the one digging into her love life.
Exactly.
Trying to.
So why don't you just let her live her life and be, you know, who she wants to be and date whoever she wants without getting criticized.
Listen.
You don't criticize Jake Gyllenhaal.
No one.
I see you coming here
no
criticizing Taylor Swift.
No one lets Taylor Swift live her own life without digging into it more than me. I can tell you that for sure. So it's called Just Another Pop-Up to Burn. And it is opening on January 13th. It'll run through February 18th. So you'll have about 5 weeks to get up there. The owners have always been big Swifties. So they were excited to open this one. There's going to be little Easter eggs throughout the entire bar. They're actually going to have someone... an artist by the name of, can't remember, but they have a cover artist that's going to be in there like Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights playing Swiftie music. She knows 41 Taylor Swift songs.
Okay.
Normally vignettes, pop-up bars are for people 21 and older, but this one you can get in if you're 15.
Oh,
and older. So 15 and older gets to come into this bar. I guess just to look around, maybe order a Shirley Temple or something like that. Speaking of drinks, some of the cocktail names are The Cardigan, which I get that reference. I've seen that in, I think, Capital One commercials. I think she does
Capital
One. Yeah,
she has a song called Cardigan.
Oh, she has a song called
mm-hmm.
Cardigan?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just like her style.
On her Folklore album.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a drink or a shot called Lemon Drops on My Guitar.
Okay, that's good.
Teardrops on My Guitar. I do know that song.
Yep.
Also, someone young told me, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was like our cousin or something, but Lemon Drop shots are like back.
They left?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think Bombs took over for a long time.
Bombs took over for shots.
Stopped doing shots, but I think Lemon Drop shots are back. There's a drink called Snow on the Beach. I don't know that one. Haley?
Yeah.
Snow on the Beach? Oh,
no.
Haley's not a Swifty. Wow. Okay. You sure?
I'm in a room full of idiots. Okay.
So and then a Taylor Swift cover artist is going to be there on the weekend. So, yeah, get up there.
Okay.
Get the vignettes.
Yeah. My other alternate names that I could have come up with just in the 2 minutes you were talking. I knew you were trouble when you popped in. Be pretty good. I guess a pop-up bar.
Oh, nice. That could have been the name of the bar.
The bar.
This, that would have been a way better name for the bar. Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, man. I had another one. Pop It Off.
Pop It Off?
Or Shake It Off.
Oh, no. So it's not very good.
No. Really? Blank Space. That's the name of the pop-up bar, Blank Space.
So...
It has the word space in it.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Yeah, Miss Maggie Moon is the name of the artist who is going to be... She knows over 40 of Swift's greatest hits. She has 40 great hits. Wow. Didn't know that either. All right. That's it.
Quite the collection she's got. All right. Also opening up, we've got a Taco Hangover in Shawnee, Kansas. Mexican food when I'm hungover, sign me up.
Yeah.
So this is catering right towards me.
Yeah, it's called Taco Hangover. That's the name of the restaurant. It's a casual Tex-Mex restaurant on Shawnee Mission Parkway and Flum. I think it opened last week. I think like last week it officially opened. Smart to open before New Year's Day. And then this day today was a great day to be hungover. And the slogan is the perfect cure. So they've got some, their signature cocktail is going to be, it's called the perfect cure. It's a mix between a Moscow Mule and a margarita.
Okay.
And then just like burritos, tacos, bowls, different things like that. It's from the owners of Beaver Tap and Saints Pub and Grill. So
okay.
If you've ever been to either of those places, you kind of get how chuggy this place might be or has the potential to be. I haven't been there yet, but I think there's one open in Des Moines. I read an article. So I'm getting a lot of this information from a 2017 Kansas City Star article that talked about a place called Taco Hangover opening in Brookside or Waldo or Plaza area. And it just must have never happened. But mm-hmm. I think one opened up in Des Moines, and then now this is the first one in Kansas City. So that's called Taco Hangover.
Okay. Also opening up, we've got Black River Cider Company. Let's see. I don't know if I read anything about that.
Okay, Black River
East Cider, Crossroads.
East Crossroads. It also opened last week. So it's on 17th and McGee. It's in the old Tapcade arcade bar. Tapcade. I know. That place was so great.
I wonder what they did with the theater.
I don't know.
They had movie theater.
Yeah,
that
movie theater, but it was like behind the bar. So it wasn't out in the open. So I think you could probably just like hide it or use it for storage or something. But but yeah, Black River Cider Company, it actually started in St. Louis.
Okay.
So it is a hard cider company, but, you know, on a craft scale. So just like a craft brewery or a micro brewery, but they do hard cider. So this guy, his name is...
John. It's John.
John. Russ John.
Russ John.
Russ John is his name. He grew up on an apple orchard in the Midwest, and then started this hard cider company in STL, Black River Cider Company, just opened in Kansas City. They have 9 different hard ciders, and then they're also serving food and then beer as well from those other East Crossroads breweries that are all right there in the East Crossroads.
Awesome.
So, if you're not a cider fan, you can still go there and get beer and then obviously food. But 9 different hard ciders.
Okay.
I wonder if it's just as simple as like Pink Ladies, Red Delicious.
Yeah, is it Fuji, all apple based?
Honeycrisp, green apples.
Or is there like a pear cider?
Yeah, that I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. I didn't know. I just thought it was apple cider, hard cider. That was it. I didn't know there was variations.
What's your go-to? What's your go-to apple?
I can't tell the difference between red and green, or between all the reds. Like all the reds taste the same to me, and then there's the green apple, which is more sour.
Yeah,
but everything else tastes the same.
That's pathetic.
Yeah,
it's
too hard to keep track of. It's kind of like how wine was for a really long time. I would just drink it, and people were like, "What'd you like?" I don't know.
So that's still how even though you've been eating apples your entire life.
I couldn't keep track of my head of what I actually was drinking.
Uh-huh.
So to know what I actually liked.
What you liked.
Same with apples.
When you go to the grocery store, you don't look at what you're buying?
I look and I'm like, whatever one sounds best. Like I think I like maybe Fiji's, those sound good.
Yeah,
but then sometimes I'll see like Cosmic Apples and be like, whoa, that's a sweet name for an apple.
Might try that.
I don't remember if I like it or not.
You know what's a scam is Red Delicious apples, because those aren't delicious.
Great.
No, they're bad. Red Delicious apples are like the grade school cafeteria apples, like dark red.
Yeah, I usually like a little red and yellow.
Mm-hmm. Honeycrisp, dude. Honeycrisp are expensive. They're by far the most expensive.
Maybe that's
apples.
What I need to do. Just buy the most expensive one.
Yeah. Honeycrisp are there for you to eat, and they're delicious. So I'm looking at the Black River Cider Company. It's not just different types of apples.
Okay.
So they have like a Homestead Peach Cider. Okay. They have like an Autumn Spice, a Summer Tart, a Mango Cider, Green Apple Lemongrass Spritz, Cucumber Basil Spritz. I think it's just different fruits, really.
Okay. All right. Also opening downtown Overland Park is Katie Smith Soiree. So it became very popular from baking classes they used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're opening up the headline says a London-inspired bakery. They host tea parties, have pastries.
I don't know.
I see some macarons.
Macarons?
There's a difference. They're two separate things.
Did you figure it out? Did you look it up?
No. Okay. Definitely two separate things, but it looks like she's had a lot of success with her popular hands-on macaron. This is macaroon.
Macaroons?
It's only 1-0.
Are you sure?
Macaron.
Macarons.
So she had some success with those baking classes in Lenexa. We'll continue doing
macarons.
Them
macarons.
At her new spot in downtown Overland Park. She's hoping that the farmer's market brings in a lot of foot traffic. Excited to have some tea parties as
well. I'm surprised that place, Clock Tower Bakery, closed because I thought they were pretty popular. So it's going in the old...
In that little tiny place. I mean, it had a couple chairs outside,
too. Yeah, chairs out front, mm-hmm. right next to old Papa Kino's.
Yeah.
So macaroons are like fluffy... Okay, Siri, easy. Macarons... Macarons are the little sandwich-looking things.
Okay.
And macaroons are like more
coconut-looking things.
Coconut-based. They're like fluffy little... They look like kind of hash brown things.
Okay.
Looking hash brown things.
These look like the sandwich things.
These look like the macarons. Little very colorful sandwiches.
Yeah.
Cookie macarons. Sandwiches. Let's just go with that. Mm-hmm. Let's just go with that. Very uncultured route this episode.
And then they'll have some pastries in there as well.
Yeah. I think the baking classes sound sweet. Like, I am so bad at baking. Like, me and I consider myself a decent cook, meaning I just really like to cook. I enjoy mm-hmm. cooking. Baking, on the other hand, me and dough do not get along. Like, every time I try to do a homemade pizza crust, it fails and it ends up with me throwing the dough in the trash and doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
I made this one time, it was just like pizza soup because the crust was burning, but none of the ingredients were in the inside were cooked. So the sauce was just like soupy. It was just, it was awful.
If you tried using one of the pizza, what do you call it? The paddle, the pizza paddle?
I don't have a pizza paddle.
Oh, okay. Very difficult. Very difficult to
have
get.
Have you
I don't
tried?
Know. Yeah, I don't know how you get the dough to slide on that.
Yeah.
Onto the pizza
stone. I think just a lot of flour and probably some...
Ended up with a lasagna, basically, that time. Just basically ended up with a lasagna. Started with the pizza, turned into a lasagna pizza.
One time I tried to make homemade pasta, and I, again, ended up just throwing the entire ball of dough into the trash.
And your
trash.
Bread making of the lockdown.
Yeah, I made two loaves.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't agree. It just doesn't agree with me. I don't work well with dough. So maybe Kim Smith and her soiree can teach me with her baking classes.
Yep. All right. Let's move to a little what did we try this week? I was going to say this week, as a K-State fan, we tried playing Alabama.
Mm, you tried coming to the SEC.
We tried. And it's...
down there in the first quarter.
First quarter was... Awesome.
So much fun. I bet.
It was incredibly fun. Up 10-0. Deuce Vaughn rips off an 88-yard run.
Ugh.
And I'm like, we're going to hang around in this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, we're going to hang around in this thing. It's going to get interesting, very interesting. I love the decision to go for it on fourth and goal at the end of the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Love that decision. Again, I thought Kleiman was playing not to just keep it close. It was a bowl game. Why not try to win the damn thing?
Why not us?
And... the play call was there. Sinnott ended up coming wide open, but I think we tried to make too perfect of a pass.
Yeah.
Didn't work. But I was like, okay, well, you know, if we go for it, then worst case scenario, maybe they get into field goal range.
Yeah.
But they've got to go 94 yards in under a minute. And they, or 96 yards. They went all 96 yards. And then didn't mind the onside kick coming out of the second half. Again,
a little predictable.
A little predictable, not super surprising, but again, hey, let's try to win this thing. If they recover and score, it's a bowl game. It's the end of the season no matter what. So go try to win the game. So I was very much okay with it.
Yeah, the only thing...
And then Alabama was like, we're Alabama, and stomped us.
Yeah, I think I didn't mind going for it on fourth down there, but calling the timeout, I think, was where Kleiman got a little too like, we can play with them. We're going to try to score, you know, get the ball back and score again. It's like... Well, if you're the favorite, then yes, I agree. I agree with calling the timeout in those situations. Uh-huh. Obviously, like the Chiefs, we should always call those timeouts. But if you're heavy underdogs, like the Cats, and you have a lead and you have momentum a little bit, just let it get to halftime, dude.
Yep.
You don't need to call that timeout. And then, you know, Alabama looked like they were just going to run the ball, run out that clock before half, but then they went down, scored a touchdown, mm-hmm. and the rest was history. But
yep.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, the SEC, it just means more.
Well, we're building. Now we've seen it up close and personal. Look for the Cats to make the playoffs next year.
Yeah. Speaking of college sports, Mizzou is ranked.
Oh, yeah.
Number 20.
Basketball school.
Basketball school, mm-hmm. officially.
Dennis Gates.
Yeah, looking good. Mizzou's looking very good. Back-to-back wins over ranked teams, not a big deal. And
K-State made the top 10, SportsCenter top 10 again with sweet dunks. It's like four or five times this season our dunks have made it onto top 10.
Is that
10.
Going on the rankings?
Let's see how many votes we got.
But we'll yeah, Kobe back. Brown is the first player in NCAA history to have back-to-back 30, or no, since a little guy named Steph Curry, back-to-back 30-point games against ranked opponents. Did it against Illinois and Kentucky. Back-to-back 30-point games against ranked opponents. So, all right, what I tried this week, I tried Meet Mitch.
Ranked 30th, K-State Wildcats.
Okay, 30th.
41 votes this week.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm. 41 out of what? I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. LSU is 26th. They got 83.
Like, votes to be
Kentucky,
number 25?
We're right behind Kentucky. I don't know.
Okay.
We got 41 votes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
41 Shroop
marks. I think that just means 41 people said we should be in the top 25.
Out of how many? 1,000?
I don't know. Good question. But it's the fourth most of the teams that didn't make top 25.
I understand that.
So, like, we're right there. We are right there.
And top 10.
Top 10 and dunks, top 10. So people are seeing us.
Sports Center top 10.
We're getting a lot of
exposure.
Airtime.
I tried Meet Mitch this week. Actually, it was like 2 weeks ago, but... just talking about it now, had the Naked and Afraid. I asked the waitress what to order. So Naked and Afraid is a sandwich. There's another sandwich on there that looks really good called the Texas Ranger. I was like,
I love
why
these names?
I know, but I was like, why is it called Naked and Afraid? Like, I was like, am I gonna get this and it's gonna be, you know, like no bun or something like that? Like, how? But no,
I would think like a chicken breast,
yeah, with no bun.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, it's burnt ends, sausage. Pepper jack fondue.
Wow.
So like a pepper jack cheese sauce, charred mayonnaise, the little super skinny fries, and then
on the sandwich,
And then a pickled jalapeno. It was a great sandwich. Wow. But there's nothing Naked and Afraid about it, so the name just confused me a little bit.
What is it's got a bun, it's got cheese on
maybe
top of it,
maybe because of the sausage,
but the sausage is covered up with
right. Sausage kind of looks like a wiener.
Yeah, but it's covered up.
You know? Mm-hmm. Get it?
Yeah.
There's also a pickled jalapeno on there.
Wow, that's great.
So yeah, really good. It's just, you know, it's expensive for barbecue, I guess, but it's a nice restaurant. So it's, I guess I would say closer to like a Jack Stack than, you know, like a Slaps or a Joe's or something like
that. Yeah, I almost feel like I get more of a sports bar vibe.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a sports bar. Like
with barbecue. Really good barbecue.
With really, really good barbecue. And we've interviewed Mitch Benjamin, who is the founder and owner and chef behind Meet Mitch. And we had him on, I think, like about a year and a half ago, maybe?
Around Father's Day. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the meat is really good. It's just the sandwich is $15, and it does not come with a side.
Wow. Yeah.
So that sandwich... is a $15 sandwich without a side. So like, then you add a side. So you're looking at like, you know, $20 for a sandwich and fries. But it's a really fun place. We had lunch there and it was during the World Cup and watched like an Argentina game. So it was, you know, there's TVs everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is very much like a sports bar with how many TVs there are. So yeah, fun vibe, good food, just a little pricier than I thought.
Yeah. I also got to do the, 901 Igloo at the Fontaine.
Oh, I did that too. Did I talk about it?
You talked about it on the pod as well. But I think even throughout January, it would still be a really fun place to go. Like, just because it's not Christmas anymore doesn't mean you can't go. The cocktails are really fun. Mm-hmm. They have a lot more food than I thought too. Even like a cheeseburger on the menu that you can grab too. And being able to just get in the Igloo and have your own speaker and heater. It's really pretty fun time.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what we got next. Oh, I've got to say something nice about St. Louis.
Okay.
I had Emo's Pizza again. It's like the first time in a couple years.
Okay.
And it didn't wreck me, which is good. And I got to show off my elite pizza ordering skills for a group.
Okay.
So my in-laws, there was, I don't know, 20, 25 people over from age 86 to 6. And trying to order pizza for that group, I nailed it. And toasted ravs as well. And there was like no toasted ravs left over. And maybe like 2 squares of pizza left over.
Beautiful.
So a perfect order.
So you
people are saying
you liked emos?
It filled me up. It filled me up, and it didn't destroy me. So that was a win-win, and I got to show off my pizza ordering skills. So
congratulations on that.
Yeah, no problem. All right, let's see. Okay, we've got a hey, look, there's KC. This one kind of blew up over the weekend, where the news came out that Cristiano Ronaldo almost signed with Sporting Kansas City.
This close.
The brands line up. Who couldn't see that coming? Just kidding. Okay, that would have been unprecedented.
Yeah. This is a weird story. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to. This is a weird one because I've seen a lot of people say like, yeah, it's just like MLS trying to like, you know, drum up a little bit of, you know, news and pretend like they had a chance. And like, it's just, it's a really weird story because, but it was also pretty funny too, like, because there's a lot of tweets coming out, like imagine Cristiano Ronaldo playing across the street from a Nebraska Furniture Mart. And like, like that is just hilarious. Like there's nothing like LeBron James is as close as we could get to like the level of stardom that Cristiano Ronaldo has. And LeBron James isn't anywhere close on a global scale to what like Cristiano Ronaldo is. Like Cristiano Ronaldo, I know this isn't the end all be all, but like Cristiano Ronaldo has the most Instagram followers of anyone in the world. Like he has four times more Instagram followers than LeBron James. And so like, and he, the contract that he ended up signing is worth $200 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
$200 million per year is the contract he ended up signing with a Saudi Arabian club. So like the fact that they say Sporting Kansas City was close to signing him.
I don't know how.
I don't know how because like we can't compete financially with obviously with Saudi money, nor with like Inter Miami and LA, the LA clubs and the New York clubs. Like, so I don't know how, if he was going to come to the MLS, how Kansas City was close. So I just, it doesn't really make much sense to me. Apparently this had kind of been in the works for a little bit of time. Neil Patterson said that,
Cliff Illig maybe.
No, well, before Neil Patterson died, they started this project called, Triple Bank Shot Project. And that was the idea of the project. It was, you know, impossible shot, triple bank shot, that, you know, is basically impossible, but, that is, that was what it was called. And it was to get Ronaldo to Sporting Kansas City. So this had kind of been in the plans for a long time. And I guess there was talks about it over, some meetings recently. And that's when the report came out, but, it just doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but, you know,
I know, especially when the report was that the package wages commercial was said to be very close.
Yeah. Like it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
A commercial package, a guaranteed amount of revenue.
Nebraska Furniture Mart getting in on that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like Ronaldo's probably worth, no. But like insane. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, weird story. Fun to see it come out. He would be like, you know, the second most famous athlete in Kansas City.
Right behind
Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. but you know, the most famous athlete in the world.
Maybe that's why he didn't come. He didn't want to take a back seat to Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and just like Peter Vermes is like such an old school, hard ass, like type of coach. It would be weird to have Cristiano Ronaldo, mm-hmm. put like only there as like a celebrity status type. I mean, obviously he's still really good, and would be really good in the MLS, but yeah, playing for Peter Vermes, it just doesn't make a ton of mm-hmm. sense, but got some good jokes off.
All right. Next up, let's get into our personal pine tar this week. I was at the Falloon after the Igloo Bar.
Okay.
And the waitress called me a nerd.
Mm.
I've never been called a nerd in my life.
What?
I don't think.
You sure?
I got glasses maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't think I had been called a nerd yet.
Okay.
I was the quarterback in high school, so I definitely
not a big deal.
Didn't get called a nerd there. I had really terrible grades in college, so definitely didn't get called a nerd there. So I think this
took calculus twice.
Twice. So none of my calculus teachers called me a nerd. That's for sure. If you need calculus lessons, I don't remember any of it. But this was the first time I've ever been called a nerd.
Why'd she call you a nerd?
I think because of my glasses. I asked her to turn. I think.
Was she very sassy the entire time?
She wasn't really our waitress. She was
okay.
helped me change the TV.
There's a waitress there that is very sassy.
No.
Okay.
But yeah, she called me a nerd.
Okay.
Said, sure, whatever you need, nerd. Like, she was kind of like being sassy and flirty a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, first time I ever got called a nerd. I don't know if I liked it.
Well, so. Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
It doesn't feel so good, does it?
You been called a nerd?
Probably not.
Okay.
Maybe, though.
Maybe.
You know what's... Called a nerd isn't as bad as being called a fucking nerd. Okay, whatever you say, you fucking nerd. Like, yeah. That's a good insult right
That's a
there.
Good insult.
That feels good.
I think she might have said cute nerd. She was being kind of flirty, but still, nerd kind of struck a chord with me.
Speaking of nerds and not being able to remember anything from college, my personal pine tar this week, we took the little kids to the library.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Which one?
The one on Main, like on the plaza.
South Plaza. It's a great
South Plaza. Great library. We had an awesome time. And they have like this great kids section with all these like toys and the little like abacus type toys where you move the beads around and fun, like even interactive computer games that we played a little bit, like on a touch screen you kind of paint by numbers and stuff like that. One, this isn't my personal pine tar, but man, post-COVID, like I'm way more hypersensitive about germs than I ever was pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm just like looking at all of the toys that are just being played with. And like my, 10-month-old daughter is just like in that stage where she's just putting everything in her mouth. And it's just like crawling on all fours through the library, crawling all over these toys. And I'm just like, these are never washed. And like, these are my well-behaved kids, like not horrible kids, but my kids are doing this. I can't imagine how many times this is getting done a day. So it's just giving me the heebies a little bit. But James, the 2-year-old, he was asking, he said he wanted to read some books about big trucks. Huge big trucks, as you know. Very into big trucks, construction trucks.
Dump trucks.
I realized that I don't know how to find stuff in a library anymore.
Dewey Decimal?
Yeah. So he was like, let's look for, I want to read some books about big trucks. And so I was like, okay. We were the first ones at the library. We got there right when it opened because of how their nap schedule works out. We got there right at 9. So there was like no one there.
Mm-hmm.
So my solution was literally to just walk through the aisles and just start looking for books titled like on the cover with big trucks on the cover because I didn't know how to search. I didn't know like.
Did you get on a computer and search?
So anyways, I finally tracked down an employee and.
A librarian? That's what they're called. You can call them librarians. Yeah.
Yes.
Is everybody who works at a library a librarian?
Well, I don't know if like the custodial staff is are librarians, but
yeah.
I guess everyone else is probably a librarian.
Technically.
Do they have like, I wonder if there's a hierarchy there of like head librarian and then like, assistant librarian and kind of maybe they have some specialized titles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyways, track
assistant
down
to the librarian.
A librarian, and they obviously knew how to do it. And so we found some books on some big trucks. Dump
how
trucks.
Do they? How do they know?
Well, they were able to search by category. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the thing. They have it by category.
Yep.
Okay, I wouldn't have known if you could type in big trucks and find books about trucks.
That's what I was looking for. But anyways, we found some good books. D is for dump truck. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, everyone just makes big truck books now. And it was a great time. So it was a good time at the library. But I did realize, like, I have no clue how to begin looking for a book here. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know, like at the library, which is how it should be, but maybe make some exceptions for the kids section. Like the kids section does not need to be organized by author. Like kids books don't need to have authors.
But like if you're like, okay, I know I want this book by this author, like that's how you're going to go look for it.
Yeah, but it should just be organized by category. Big trucks,
yeah.
Farm equipment, animals and dude, so what I was
dinosaurs.
Doing prior to enlisting the librarian's help was just like walking up and down the aisles looking for books, like looking at covers of books, walking up and down the aisles.
And you're only looking at the spine
there's
of a book.
I was kind of even flipping through.
Yeah.
There's way too many books. I'm all for like, building self-esteem and all that good stuff. We have a lot of books about like who you are and figuring all that out. But 1 out of 100 books are about big trucks, and it should be more like 50-50. Like
more big trucks.
Half of all books should be about big trucks or animals. Like I support and I am in favor of reading books to kids that are about understanding and learning about yourself and accepting others and being kind. But it doesn't need to be 99% of kids' books.
Mm-hmm.
We need more big truck books. We need more farm equipment, animals,
dinosaurs.
Just, yeah, yeah. Because I was looking, I was like, good Lord. Like, these are all just like self-help books for kids. Like, just give me dinosaurs. Just D is for dinosaurs. D is for dump trucks. I just need, that's all I need. But mm-hmm. it was all just like, you know, very, very self-help. Empathy teaching type books and teaching about. I was like, just give me trucks, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already embarrassed that I don't know how to work the library system. You don't need to make me feel bad by, you know, looking for only books about big trucks.
Yeah. Like, you sure your son doesn't need any of these books about loving others and caring for others?
Yeah. Well, we have
no matter
those.
What they look like.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, we're in the dump truck.
No, no. We have all those. But yeah, at the end of the night, all he wants is big truck. Big trucks.
All right, let's move into our mix plate this week. This week we've got our mix plate of New Year's resolutions. We've done this in the past.
For Kansas City, right? Not for us.
For Kansas City, yeah. Not for us. So, we did this a couple years ago with some great success, so wanted to bring it back. So we've got our New Year's resolutions for Kansas City. It's episode 189. That means you get to go first.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
All right. My meet number one here. I've talked about this year, but I've talked about this recently. More delis.
Oh, that's a good one.
We need more delis. I want to be able at some point in my life for someone to ask me, hey, what's your favorite deli in Kansas City? And to have an answer and to have an argument with someone. Because if someone were to ask anyone that right now, they'd be like, what?
Yeah,
like Pickleman's, mm-hmm. like Bay Boy, maybe Bell and Napoli.
Yeah,
like there's just not a ton of delis.
The Milwaukee,
Goodsense. Most people would say Goodsense probably.
Mm-hmm.
So I want more delis. I love a true deli sandwich. It's hard to beat.
Yep. All right, my meat number one. Let's go with travel more. We've got a new airport.
There you go.
2023. So there's going to be more direct flights to different places around the world. Better. It's going to be easier to spend time inside the airport too, with all the local restaurants and shops that are going to be opening up. So get out to the airport, travel more. Kansas City. That's our New Year's resolution.
All right. Meet number two for me. This is a big one in my neck of the woods. We got to do something about the sidewalks. I'm sure I've complained about it on this before, but I have to plan when we're on a walk with the stroller. Like, I just can't go in certain directions because of how bad the sidewalks are.
Yeah.
So like we can't walk east because that's Main Street, and then you have to be on a sidewalk for Main Street, and the sidewalks are just atrocious. So basically, when we walk around our neighborhood, which is Brookside, we never walk on the sidewalks because they aren't walkable. You just walk on the street. So you have to stay on side streets, and you have to stay back in the neighborhood. So we need better sidewalks.
I think add into that curbs. Like, get some of that Overland Park curb money.
It's unlimited, so.
Which is unlimited. It's a big slosh
literally
fund.
Unlimited funds for curbs.
Overland Park
redoes
their curbs every single year.
At least
once a year. It might be quarterly.
Yeah, I think so.
But can we help out Waldo and Brookside and get them some curbs?
Dude, Gregory between Warnell and Ward Parkway has been under construction for 18 months. It is unbelievable.
They're probably not even putting curbs in.
No. Oh, no. No. It's just all water work. It's just all pipes. Like, I mean, it's great because there's a lot of big trucks over there.
Uh-huh.
And so we can just walk over there. But walking to Gregory, it's atrocious because of the sidewalks.
I've in this house search, I've crossed houses off my list because of sidewalks and curbs. Like, some of those Waldo neighborhoods I love, and there's a ton of cute houses.
They don't even have curbs.
But there's no curbs, it look so, I can't stand it.
Yeah, and no sidewalks. Yeah.
No sidewalks, no curbs.
Yeah.
I've crossed houses off the list. Come on. Get some of that Overland Park money.
Yep.
All right. My meet number two, it's to spend more time outdoors. We got the draft 2023. Let's hang out outside.
Yes.
Let's get a picnic blanket. Let's get a cooler. Some deli sandwiches.
Oh, God. Can you imagine going to the draft
all day,
unwrapping a sandwich on one of those like checkered papers? Mm.
I think we should bring the pee tent to the draft, too.
Now, that's an idea.
I think we should.
I think it's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More outdoor concerts. Taylor Swift's coming to Arrowhead. A lot of concerts. I think Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks are coming.
Yeah.
Luke Combs is coming. So a lot of outdoor concerts that could happen. And I got my first disc golf set. So look out, Froth World. I'm going to be frothing.
Okay. Have you ever frothed?
No, I haven't.
So it's just something you want to do.
Yeah, and now I've got the gear. I've got the gear for it. I've got pickleball paddles as well. So I'm ready to get outside. Just outdoor more, and I think Kansas City should join me. Get some pickleball going. We could create some more pickleball courts. Sorry, Brookside Tennis. Let's flip those courts 90 degrees?
Yeah. 90 degrees.
90 degrees and add pickleball courts behind the Brooksider, and let's get outside.
Then those courts need to be repaved.
Yeah, repave
as well.
Them, put pickleball courts in them. You would double how many courts
people
you
still
have.
Play tennis there.
Pickleball.
Okay.
Sport of the future.
They did put a pickleball lines finally on the tennis court back in my neighborhood, the little triangle park back there. So they finally put pickleball courts, but they could turn that sideways too for all I care. Most of the time it's just used for kids to like run around on their bikes and scooters. New Year's resolution side number one for me. Finally start the Mission Gateway project.
Oh, wow.
So the empty lot on Rowe and Johnson Drive in Mission, Kansas, that's been empty since 2006.
Five.
Uh-huh. And nothing has ever started except the shells of a couple parking garages and just one of the worst eyesores in any city in America, probably. So get that Mission Gateway project started. Get started on your projects.
It's so frustrating if you have friends from out of town and you drive by and they're like, oh, that looks pretty cool. What's going on there? And I'm triggered by the question. I'm like, you shut the hell up. You don't ask about that.
We don't talk about that plot of land.
We don't talk about the Mission Gateway project, okay?
Yeah.
Don't ask about that.
I mean, to be fair, if you've lived in the area for that long, your brain has just blocked it out.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably don't even notice it anymore. Like how, you blocked it out.
It's like how your nose is actually in your line of vision, but your brain tells your eyes not to see it.
Exactly.
That's what's happened to the Mission Gateway.
It's like there's a pill been put into our brains.
Yeah.
We've got severed. We've gotten severed from even seeing it. We're just like, what?
I saw it like a month ago, and I saw the big white structure, and I was like, did they just put that up?
Uh-huh.
I have no idea when that went up.
No.
Could have been in 2010, maybe 2000, I don't know. Or could have been last month.
Mm-hmm. It's like in Westworld when the characters see something from the outer world and they're like, that doesn't look like anything to me at all. That's like how we view the Mission Gateway project. We're like, I don't know. What? I don't even notice anything.
All right. Let's see. Side number one here. Spend more money. I'm talking to you, Uncle John. John Sherman. Been very quiet this free agency.
Quiet and poor.
I'm very okay with that.
Not quiet and stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not calling Uncle John stupid. I'm just saying some of the.
And I'm not calling for them to spend a bunch of money this year. I'm okay with not making big free agent splash. I wouldn't have mind still seeing a trade here before the season starts to bring in some major league talent.
Okay.
But in 2023, winter meetings, we're going to need to make splashes. We're going to need to build a downtown ballpark. So spend your money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very pro spend my tax money for ballparks. But hey, let's try New Year's resolutions. They're about getting better, right?
Uh-huh.
So Royals, spend your money, not mine.
Wisely.
Spend it wisely.
Stop signing.
On the ballpark, on good free agents.
Bad
make some
free
splashes
agents.
In 2023.
Yeah. All right, side number two for me. Make gambling legal in Missouri.
Yeah.
Even though, to be honest with you, kind of enjoying gambling not being legal in Missouri because then I can't make stupid bets.
Impulse bets.
Impulse bets.
You've got to text somebody.
I have to text someone to do that.
There's time to.
And so I've actually kind of been okay with it because I'll just go, you know, I'm close enough and kids' daycare is in Kansas. So like a responsible, good father, I place my bets after dropping my kids off at daycare. Mm-hmm. But I can't do any impulsive live betting, which probably saves me.
Yeah.
Because I am the world's worst gambler,
I saw,
as we know.
The line at K-State moved to plus 22 in the third quarter, maybe. K-State, Alabama. Okay. And I was like, oh, we're going to get it within 20.
I'll juice that. Double it.
You did have a resolution in 2021 to start gambling more.
Yeah.
So check. You did that.
Well, definitely.
You did
that. So I lost every single college football bet on Saturday. So.
You took the Cats, though.
Took the Cats money line. I was trying
that.
To ride with you. Actually, you should have wanted me not to take the Cats because of how bad I am.
Yeah. That's true. All right, my side number two here. I'm going to say go boating more for Kansas City.
Okay.
Let's build a marina on the river. Let's build a marina down there.
I don't think about that. Well, no, it's a really bad idea.
Why not? Build a marina down there.
People don't take boats on rivers, dude.
Well, what about a river boat?
Okay, that's fine.
Serve booze on it, gamble on it.
There you
ride it up and down the
Doesn't
Missouri.
St. Louis have something like that?
They got something like that, yeah.
I think there was like a restaurant on a boat or something like that.
Yeah.
In St. Louis, but then I think bad things. Like they're never kept up. Like the kitchen and all that shit always goes to crap.
Yeah. You
know, so people don't take like their pontoons on the river.
Why not?
It's just too fast. It's too unpredictable. It moves too fast and you can't just like tool around. You have to go in one direction.
Be cool though, hang out on the river,
or
just have some boats to take some joy rides.
I support for a spin. I support doing something like a I don't know, some sort of boat cruise.
Mm-hmm.
I support that.
Okay, thank you. so those are my four.
Okay.
I also had walk more. So
sidewalks.
Emphasis on we kind of covered sidewalks, but plaza. Shut down your streets.
Okay, yeah. I like that. Brookside could do it too.
Shut down your streets. Crossroads could probably shut down some streets.
Uh-huh.
And then that park that's coming between the Crossroads and downtown. Because we're going to have to get used to it. That downtown ballpark, it's coming. So we got to get used.
Stop fighting it, people.
Got to get used to walking. When you walk from Arrowhead or from Kauffman to your car, you're probably walking the same distance that you would parking downtown and having to walk.
Correct.
So at the Star Building, what's going on there? Kansas City Star Building?
Yeah, I have no clue. I don't even know.
We've said things over the course of this podcast that this might be coming in or that.
Yeah.
And nothing's really stuck.
I don't know.
Those are the ones I had.
Okay.
As far as my resolutions from 2021, for Kansas City was to lose some weight, cut some extra land. I don't think we've done that.
No,
we probably annexed more land, honestly.
Yeah, probably.
Be nicer to St. Louis. I did that.
Yeah.
Who started.
You married a girl from
nice.
St. Louis.
Yeah, exactly.
For goodness sakes.
I just said something nice about emos. I had a resolution to hold Dayton more accountable. Check.
Yeah. You're a big part of the reason why.
Yeah. And then
this podcast is a major part of the reason why.
I said
Dayton
Chiefs
Moore
fans need to be nice. Like, we don't want to be a hated. Because I knew we were going to be good for a long time, so let's not be Patriots fans. Let's not be a fan base that people hate.
Okay.
Since then, we started robbing banks as fans. So still some work.
Yeah.
Still some work to do
there.
I
don't think as a fan base we've gotten more tolerable.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're trending towards the being intolerable and annoying fans on the internet.
Still some work to do there.
Minority, a small, small minority of people. But it's on the internet.
The loudest Chiefs fans are very intolerable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you had to start smoking more.
Yeah, meats.
You've been smoking more meats.
A little bit, yeah.
In the last 2 years.
Without a doubt.
You've been smoking more meats.
Yeah, within the last 2 years, I've definitely smoked more meats.
I think we have more bad motorist idiots.
Yeah, my personal binder this week was almost just a rant on driving, but I decided it was a little too on brand, so I backed out. But the correct order, people, is blinker, then brake, and then you turn. You don't just start braking. So let's just say you're driving down Warnell and you have to turn, you know, on a street that's not a light or anything like that. It doesn't have a right turn lane, but you're just like, you just start braking with no blinker on. Blinker, then break, and then you turn.
But you're not going to talk about it.
I'm not going to talk about
okay.
it. Okay. So it would be just too on brand.
All right. That'll do it for us this week. Be sure to follow us on social media at State Your Line. We'll see you around Kansas City.